Yeah, we have a habit of, well, at least Jeremy and I have a habit of just starting these shows talking about whatever's on TV anyway. And yeah, that was pretty weird having Mandy Rose show up on NXT.
You know, the funny, we can say for the show, I was about to say the funny thing is,
Oh,
I
no, I
think I
just hit
saw her.
record, so go for it.
Okay. The funny thing is, I think I saw her on NXT TV like once or twice. Like,
Oh.
she's NXT all the time, but she was never on TV.
Yeah, she was kind of down there a while, but really did not get a whole lot of TV time. So.
Saving her, like she was doing a lot of house show matches, and you heard about her. And I think she was like in a six man or a tag match, and then one day she just showed up on
Yeah, now she's showing up on Raw and NXT, which is that's a curious one, especially since what do we have? We got Shotzi and Knox. Oh my gosh, I can't believe they had to cut off two names there. Come to SmackDown, and did they say that Toni Storm was going to be debuting on SmackDown 2 this week?
They said soon. They didn't say when.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of flexibility currently with which talent is where.
I mean, things aren't like one thing about the NXT women's division is they have enough people where they can manage. Like, I don't know who this Gigi Dolin girl is. I just say, okay, I can tell she's from Atlanta by the accent, but it's like, you know, she just shows up to take Toni Storm's spot. It's like they just keep it moving.
Yeah, I feel like she wrestled under a former name, and not that I really saw her at that time, but I feel like a lot of people liked her on the indies.
You can shake that tree in Florida, and they probably got about 12, 13 women there. So that's the beauty of having a. That's one of the beauties of having a deep women's roster. It's kind of like if anybody can handle a bunch of people leaving all at once, NXT women's division is probably the only division they have that can handle that. Because all it does is just gives the people there more space, give new people a chance.
Yeah, well, even Saray, like, I think she'd been on TV, like, you know, they tried to bring her in, and then she was off TV for like 2 or 3 weeks. And it's just like, man, she was your new big signing from Japan, and she's already taken off like multiple weeks in a row. Like,
I mean, she challenged, what's her face? The one half of the tag team champs. Then she wins. And then she won a challenge. Then she beats somebody else.
yeah.
So she beat the girl who beat Toni Storm with the shooting star press.
Oh, Zoe Stark.
No, not
No?
Zoe. Like, first she beat Zoe Stark, the girl that she beat after Zoe Stark. The girl that upset Toni Storm. That wasn't Zoe Stark.
Oh, yeah. Ramir, yeah. I'm trying to
Yeah,
remember what
her.
her, but
Exactly her.
yeah, I
And
know who
then
you're
it was
talking
kind of
about
like,
now.
and then it was kind of like, you know, find somebody for her. And then it was going to be Toni Storm. And then it's not going to be Toni Storm. So it's like, it's funny where they pulled all those women off of NXT and they messed up like three feuds. But the feuds hadn't really started yet. So it's kind of like, they'll be all right.
Yeah. Like you said, like it is probably the only division that could use some talent to be shipped out and not stay there and not really have miss a heartbeat. 'Cause who else did they get back? I mean, they kind of got Mercedes Martinez back, you know, somewhat recently, and I still think Xia Li could probably take up more airtime than she has in general.
Well, she just called out Raquel Gonzalez, and it's fun. They're really booking Raquel Gonzalez like Diesel. Like, she's just a big tweener champion. I'll fight it. You know, I'll take any challenge. I bet you will. You 6 inches taller than everybody else. Like, Zaya Ty Lee coming out like, I want a shot at title. Like, she comes to Raquel's, like, collarbone would be pushing it.
Oh.
Like, it was definitely a height difference, and it was very noticeable, and it's kind of like, when they're a tag team, they're heels, but when she's wrestling by herself, she's a babyface. Like, this is a weird dynamic that they have with her.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Dakota Kai is hated, but I guess she's another one I still don't feel like, she's almost underutilized herself. Like, even though she gets a decent amount of TV time.
Yes, they're definitely pushing them like D's on Shawn Michaels, and she's like the Renaissance Shawn Michaels. And it's just a weird, because I was just watching that, and I was like, one, poor Ember Moon, a tag team partner leagues, and she just like, yuck. Like, I mean, somebody has to lose when you have a wrestling match, but just watching that, I was just kind of like, yeah, she needs to find a partner soon, or she's going to be scuffling around.
Yeah, that was the one that I guess I wasn't completely surprised that that Ember didn't go back up to the main roster. But yeah, it leaves her in a weird spot because it didn't even seem like she was going to get much of a singles push in the NXT women's division despite being a former champion. Like, there are too many names still at the top of the roster.
Like, she got it when she first went back. But then, ever since she was in the tag team, it was just kind of like, okay, you're in a tag team, and this was working. But it almost seemed like, you know, the tag team was there to get Shotzi ready. Because they seem to see, like, Shotzi as a feature with good reason. And Ember is kind of like, you know, they give her the Marty Jannetty treatment.
Yeah, and I do think that her and Shotzi had a good chemistry that I'm not sure who else she can necessarily pull it off with. Because I'm not sure who kind of has that, you know, that kind of look in the women's division to mesh with her.
Liv Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
But she's busy fighting over Carmella, or who's the prettiest on SmackDown. So,
oh,
when she's not complaining, rightfully so, how come she keeps winning, but everyone else is getting chances? Like, she sounds like someone on the internet.
Oh, yeah. That could be played out that way.
She has a point, because she's like, you know, I thought wins and losses matter. I'm winning, but everyone else is getting chances. Like, this is nonsense. So, she wasn't to say wrong. It's just weird where it's like they have a baby. I don't know, babyface complaining they normally don't have, but it's like, it ain't complaining if she's telling the truth.
Yeah, and the other thing that's strange about it is Sonya Deville kind of had that moment of it looked like she was going to be the bad cop to Adam Pearce's good cop, but that really hasn't been the case since those like 2 weeks a couple of months ago at this juncture. So, but for whatever reason, they're sending her out there to be the bad woman in the women's division. It's just like, why did this happen? Like, all you got to do is just, yeah. That segment, it kind of drove me a little bit nuts this week because there's no reason. Like, she waited entirely too long to announce that Liv Morgan would be replacing Carmella in the Money in the Bank match. Like, that's just one of those ones that you're purposefully given them too much time so that someone can come out and complain. Like, just all you gotta do is just write it a little bit different. Why is it this hard?
I think it was just kind of like I think the belly injury kind of like forced their hand with that.
Oh.
It was kind of like they were going, it's not they were going to do something with that anyway, but Bayley being out, of course, like people were wondering who's going to take it. So, of course, it's Carmella. Carmella's like, you know, Walt Goggins. She can fill any role they have and it makes sense. It's kind of like she has enough credibility where it's like her having a title match doesn't seem out of the blue. It's like she's been a champ. She's won Money in the Bank. She's fought for the title. Like she was just feuding with Sasha with the title not that long ago. So it's like it's not that, like her being there is not that surprising. And it gives Liv Morgan a chance to slide in because, you know, people like Liv Morgan. And she's like that, you know, that spunky person that kind of earned it the right way, got screwed around, and that whole you deserve it nonsense, like it actually applies to her. So it's just a lot of people in that match that's kind of like, I have no idea who, like, it's like half the people there has no business being there.
Oh, and like, just the women's ladder match?
Yeah, like Alexa Bliss and Asuka, like they seem... isn't a tie in it? Like, it's like there's a lot of people that's over either already have a title or overqualified for that.
Yeah, I need to look at who's all in that because I don't really, I can't remember who's all in that.
And Mandy Rose said on Twitter when they asked, like, what are you doing at NXT? She said she's back. So did someone tell Dana Brooke that?
Oh. Well, yeah, someone tell... Yeah, good gravy. I mean, Dana Brooke could use the time down there.
I know I just saw them have a segment with the Women Tag Team Champions on Raw talking about how they want to get a title shot again. And this is kind of like... It's just like, ah, that's what you think, pal.
Well, I mean, that's kind of... That was a weird way to go about things. Like, just a few days after Shotzi and Knox did beat Natalya and Tamina, it's just like, nah, it seems like there's someone ahead of you guys already.
Not anymore. Oh, man. So, let's see. I'm looking at... Okay. So, they have one spot open so far for women. Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Nikki... Almost a superhero, Liv Morgan, Zelina Vega, and Natalya. So you have one, two, three, four former champions. One that's the current tag team champions. Zelina Vega, who just got her job back. Nikki Cross doing her Molly Holly routine and getting TV time. Liv Morgan, the people's champ, and one more spot. And thank God Charlotte can't fill that spot because otherwise she would be there. And I don't know, is Becky Lynch ready to come back?
Yeah, I didn't realize how little firepower they had in this women's match. Yes. Like, no one seems like a logical winner. Like, the to be announced almost sounds like a more logical winner than the rest of the field.
If it's Sasha Banks or is Becky Lynch or is this somebody I'm not think about. I mean, out the people there, really Liv Morgan.
Agreed.
Because Naomi, they don't seem to like, they don't use her like they should. Asuka just won it last year. She don't really need it. Alexa Bliss, you really want that voodoo shit with the belt? I mean, if you want to go that route, you can. But it seems like they don't really want to go there. Nikki Cross, no. Zelina Vega, no. Although Natalya, she's a tag team champion, so also no. Part of me wonders if they're just going to just like, you know what, let's just put Eva Marie there.
Oof. That would not surprise me in the least. But, because, wow, that... That would be an interesting choice.
I haven't talked about it that much, but I would just say it is amazing for how little time she gets, the amount of vitriol that she can be responsible for online. Like, people will let you know how much they can't stand her being on TV for 4 minutes. I'm like, Raw is a 3-hour show. She's only on there for at most 2 segments. She doesn't take up that much time, but I'd rather pour bleach in my eyes than see Eva Marie. I'm like, well, go ahead.
Man, that sounds like...
Let me know how that go. I'm like, that sounds a little extreme. I'm like... And that's why she keeps getting time. It's like, you guys go out your way to tell us how much you dislike her. And it's like, y'all not accomplishing what you think you're accomplishing.
No. I just wish that the interaction between her and Piper Niven.
Just no, because. About her right name, her given name, Kevin Dewdrop.
Dewdrop. I'm going with like the anti Voldemort route there. but yeah, I just need more definition on that because they're playing it a certain way, like Dewdrop's gonna turn on her, but they haven't given me any reason to believe why Dewdrop would be with Eva Marie in the first place, which I need for investment. Like, it does, thank goodness, as far as I'm concerned, it does not look like they're going to be depending upon Eva Marie as an in-ring talent, which is for everyone's benefit, I think.
And that's perfect because it's like she spent all the time. I got back. I'm in shape. I've been working on my craft. Blah, blah, blah. And she just couldn't come out here, have some cute ring gear, have an 8-pack, and don't wrestle. It's perfect. Like, she can look like a wrestler and never wrestle and just piss people off. Because it's like, do you really want to? If she really doesn't have the time to work like that, what's she going to do? Like, you really want her fumbling around for a 2-star match? That don't do nothing. Like, we don't need that. She doesn't need to do that to, like, have a reaction. And it's perfect. And it's like they know what they have with her. People don't like her. And they make an effort to tell you how much they don't like her. And she knows that. And she doesn't. Not only does she not care, she rubs it in people's faces.
I will admit, like, when she was first in there, to me, it was go-away heat. But like you said, now she's leaning into, like, people have kept the go-away heat thing, but she's playing into it. So it's like, no, now she knows how to do her job, guys.
She knows what she's doing. Talk about, you know, I'm 2-0. Goldberg, your streak is coming up. Like, we know how insane that, like, she knows how ludicrous that's. Like, she is an awesome, oblivious, airheaded heel. Like, her interacting with Alexa Bliss and, like, all these cobwebs in here and all this weirdo stuff. Like, y'all, like, she was not afraid. She, like, put on, like, you couldn't even sweep. You didn't fight on your show.
Yeah, she had pretty good reactions during that whole thing.
So, yeah, I would not be surprised if she's in it, and I can just imagine the reaction if she won. Like, oof, boy. I just want to see just for the reactions alone. But we'll see. It's kind of like both the men and women. Like, the men, I think it's Riddle. It seemed like it's just set up for him to win.
Yeah, he definitely, it's either him, I don't think they're going to go that route with Big E, but they could, but it's always awkward to have a babyface win it.
Yeah, I mean, true, but it's kind of like, I like babyfaces that's smart for once, too many times they'd be like, I'm going to let you go on a do and then do it anyway. Like, this, I mean, I seriously doubt it's Ricochet, although... You never know, because it's kind of like sometimes they like them, sometimes they don't. And corny stuff aside, the ring works for itself. And it's like he's still ricocheting the ring. And they have been emphasizing how awesome he is lately. Like, him and John Morrison going together is kind of like, you know, ghosts of the past versus ghosts of the future as far as Christmas. Oh. And that's just because, like, Morrison used to be the whole nobody can do what he do while looking like that. And now that's Ricochet. So just having them work together and kind of like highlight that helps, especially with The Miz being out. Drew, no. Kevin Owens, I doubt it. Nakamura, I don't know, because it's like, if you have a SmackDown person, then I don't see them cashing in on Roman Reigns anytime soon. So it seems like it would have to be a Raw person.
I still give a slight chance, I guess, to Seth Rollins, even though he is a SmackDown guy. Just because they him and Reigns have enough of a history, and that story is going to come out way different than it ever has when they've gone up against each other.
Roman Reigns is going to have him assassinated. Roman Reigns is doing a masterclass of just being a gaslighting supervillain. And it's kind of like, I can't remember the last time we had a heel like this in wrestling. Like, he is not a regular, like, he is a movie heel. He's not a wrestling heel. And that's kind of throwing people off. Like, you just see him kind of like, he's a maniac.
Yeah.
That's gaslighting people like a bad boyfriend. Like, you know, I want y'all to be family. And it's not my fault that, you know, you were drunk. And it's not my fault they don't remember your name. If you listen to what I had to say, you wouldn't be here. But I love you anyway. But I know you're not strong enough to do it. That's why I'm doing it. So all you guys can eat at Christmas. And it's me looking around like, what? It sounds like it made sense to you second seven. Like, this man is a maniac. And somebody say something, oh, Ed said you ain't a man. And Roman lips start quivering, his eyes start twitching, like, how dare you? He's about to scream at somebody. Like, Roman Reigns is spending his entire time like, I'm cool, but if you say the wrong thing, I'm gonna lose my damn mind. And he's watching his cousins get choked out by Edge, and he's just like, well, I would go down there, but I got this brand new shirt. And I told him not to come out there anyway, so I hope they're better for this lesson. And like, it's awesome. He's like, it's just awesome just doing this, because like, he's a maniac, and everybody's afraid of him.
Yeah, I mean, how does it feel to come on this show and not have to worry about a bad Roman Reigns promo? How many straight years did you have to come on when a bad Roman Reigns promo popped up?
Roman, the beanstalk and suffering succotash and all that crap. It's like, now I get to talk about Roman Reigns and just, you know, and just like, y'all listen to this maniac. I could be crazy too. I got to turn back to the Edge that beat up John Cena's dad.
Oh.
Because just keep in mind, people kind of brush it off. Since Ash came back, he's been kind of lunatic himself. Like, Randy Orton was coming off as the reasonable one, talking about, you're out here talking to this man, like, you got kids, you got a wife, chill out. He's talking about, you want to destroy me. You want to ruin my life. Like, I thought you was a hero. And Ash talking that fight and stuff, like, I'm gonna destroy you in front of your children so you can't hug your wife anymore, and it's never gonna be over. I'm like, he's the hero? He sounds it's like Edge sounds insane. And Edge has always been that guy, like, you know, I used to cheat all the time. I don't mind cheating again. Show y'all how it's done. But root for me. Whatever you say, Han Solo. Like, whatever works.
Edge, it's one of those ones where the WWE and honestly wrestling in general seems to want to not have a definition for a babyface and a heel, and most of the time it's not working, but there are certain instances like this whole Edge and Roman Reigns thing where it is working. Because you kind of want to see the Usos get beat up for being idiots in some ways. For still siding with Roman Reigns despite their constant ass kickings that they're getting. But Edge and honestly the Mysterios are just maniacs.
Yeah, Rey, I don't know. Ever since Rey Mysterio come back, like, he's been cutting great promos. And he's just been kind of like, if you mess with my family, I'm going to try to kill you. Like, he tried to beat Brock Lesnar to death with a cane. Like, it's just amazing all these old people coming back and just being so much better version of themselves. Edge, Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton. Normally people get a certain age, they start coasting. Like, the pandemic's like, you know, I'm going to be at my best. And it's just, I know Edge isn't going to win, and Edge shouldn't win. But it's kind of like, and I know when they announced Edge, it was like, oh, all right. But kudos to them. They have made this interesting. Like, you know, Edge has been doing his best to have Roman Reigns crack under the pressure. Like, show everybody, yes, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, is a lunatic. And he can't handle being crazy like I can handle being crazy. And he's going to learn that lesson. Not as bad as Kofi Kingston going to learn. Pour one out because, oof, that promo lasted cut. Man, oh man, I'm like, Lashley was, that's probably the best promo he's, even TNA, that he has ever cut. Like, he was like, I'm losing to Xavier Woods. And you bringing out women and champagne, like, Kofi, right? Like, get this, like, he almost, like, he was about to say some stuff that normally get bleeped out, even though he said, you know, I'm tired of this bullshit. And I noticed Raw been letting that slide lately.
that promo was something else. Like, because that was another one where the promo was great, and then him freaking out, and just, like you said, like, he kind of had the eye twitch going on and everything, like, and MVP has just been such a benefit. Like, that's another one where the WWE has allowed, both with MVP and with Paul Heyman, like, those two guys are showing you why managers can still work in the WWE these days.
Yes. Lashley wouldn't be where he was without MVP. And Lashley is perfect where it's like, he's got an MVP. I mean, he's got, like, MVP's guy in Lashley. He's ready for success. But at the same time, if he pushes a little too far, Lashley don't have a problem, like, standing back. Like, you know, I know you're my man, but you're doing this wrong. Like Kofi Wright, you out here cracking jokes. You got these women dancing around. Like, I lost to a bum. I'm the champ. Like, he took losing seriously. Most people take a loss. They're like, it's no big deal. He was like, I'm Bobby Lashley. What the hell is wrong with me? I'm losing to Xavier Woods. And he's like, maybe Kofi Wright. But guess what? I'm going to fold him up like a basketball. And came in his damn skull. And, like, the more he was like that promo, and he was like, had to stop himself because he's about to say some stuff that the FCC won't allow. I'm like, I was feeling scared for Kofi Kingston. Like, like, last year, you're going to try to murder this. Like, Kofi was talking all this stuff, like, you know, I inspired you, and you out here clowning around, and you need to, you know, be a real champ. You're going to shoot like a basketball ball.
Oh, yeah, and that is what's going to happen. I mean, I think Kofi has done some of his best promo work probably since being champion. You know, with MVP also. And yeah, that's all that good vibes for Kofi 2.0 are coming to an end on Monday or Sunday.
I'm wondering how the crowd's going to react. Because it's going to be the first pay-per-view with a crowd since Mania.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I felt like things would go really sideways at Mania, and it didn't as far as the crowd reaction went. I think a consistent crowd is going to be something different than just a one-time crowd.
True. And it's funny where both champions are heels, but they're entertaining. Like, Roman Reigns is doing a masterclass work at being a heel, so I think fans just even if they want to boo, they're going to respect that. Lashley's just a badass. Like, he come out in a suit with women, he just beat people up. Like, he's not this goofball like they got at NXT, so... Okay. Have I talked to you about Karrion Kross? how I feel about Karrion Kross?
A little bit, but he has really taken a verbal beating, I think, since the last time we recorded. Between Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano.
And everybody. Just being nice. Is he the most disrespected champ they had since Bo Dallas?
Yes.
That's amazing. Like, no, everyone thinks he's trash. Everybody. I turn on NXT and it doesn't matter. It's all these 5'6" dudes like, you a bum. I don't know how you got the title. If you can't wrestle, you got a goofy gimmick and you suck. And I'm like, this keeps happening every single week. And it is letting it happen on Triple H's television. Your world champ who can't figure out if he wants to be a gladiator, a strip club owner, or a pit boss, or a vampire. Like, what? I don't know what his gimmick is. No one seems to respect him. Everyone in his face calling him a chump, and I'm like, this is the champ.
Well, and then that's the problem, is they're just kind of, Triple H is letting it happen, too. Because you're right, like, he hasn't picked, like, one certain thing that he is. Like, he's had at least those four faces that you were talking about. And it's just like, it's hard to give the 5'6" guys a hard time when you're just going, yeah, they're pointing out the obvious shit that his character is terrible.
Yeah, like, Anna Cole says, all I gotta do is they play my music. They know I'm special. You need all this smoke, and your girl got this goth stuff. And you got a leather dress and a tie and all this creator wrestler nonsense. It's like they're saying everything. It's a bad thing when your competition is saying everything that people say on a message board. And everyone's like, oh, well, you got a point. What? Can you imagine if they said that about Hulk Hogan? Or they were saying like, remember how much people got on Triple H when he was pointing out what John Cena couldn't do? And they would say how unprofessional Triple H was. Like, John Cena is this clumsy dude with these goofy-ass jean shorts on, and he can't wrestle, but he tries hard. And everybody said how much of a chump Triple H was for undercutting them. Everybody's doing that at NXT when it comes to Karrion Kross. Everybody. Bronson Reed was getting more respect as the North American champion than Karrion Kross is. And he had the belt for like 2 weeks.
Hey, yeah, it's a really awkward situation for him. Like, if he does go up to the main roster, like, he needs to have a focused character with or without Scarlett. Like, you can still fill that character out with her, but she just, I don't know why she's there right now. Like, she was there to do the talking, but he's done almost all the talking recently. So it's just like, what's she doing there other than looking good?
Doing spooky stuff with her fingers and doing real spooky stuff with her facial expressions. It's just like, Tainari Conti's not there. She got to do that overacting with her face. Like, she move. Like, it's something she does where it's like, is she on crack? Like, she just do so. Like, sometimes she just acted weird. And it's not like sexy weird. It's just like, stop chattering. Like, stop moving so jittery. Like a damn zombie. Like, that whole gimmick. I'm like, the main roster, you're going to put him in the ring next to Sheamus and he's going to be tough. Like, he's big because he's around a bunch of small people. And it says a lot that every time Samoa Joe's in his face, people want Joe to just choke his ass out. And, like, that's your world champion. And Joe is just there. It's like no one respects your world champion. And that's your world champion. And it's not like that's not a common thing in NXT. And he's not small. He's supposed to be this big, imposing man. This the man that beat Keith Lee. This the man that, you know, beat Finn Balor. And everybody talking about him like he a chump. That's a problem. And if you're not going to fix that problem, he don't need to have the belt. Like, get that belt off him. Give it to somebody that's, like, not getting called a loser.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be interesting. I would assume that he's going to lose the belt sooner rather than later, but I don't know who he's going to lose it to, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess you could have him drop it to Adam Cole.
Maybe.
But I don't, you know, like, he's almost too soon off of his own title reign to have it for another long run.
Yeah, NXT's in a real weird spot where they have a lot of new and up-and-coming people on the women's side, but they really don't on the men's side. Like, all the relatively new people are, like, cruiserweight size. You know, like the Santos Escobars and all of those. Like, all people in the main event are people that's been there. Like, unless you want to just say Pete Dunne, you're going to be the man. It's like, you know, or Kyle O'Reilly is about to get a chance. Like, Adam Cole has been there and done that. Johnny Gargano has been there and done that. Everybody else is in the tag team division. Or they already in WWE. Like, the men division is weird, where it's like, it's very top heavy, but it's people you seen already at the top that you really don't want to see again. All the fun stuff happens in the mid card.
It is pretty strange because, yeah, I don't know who else, because I mean, Bronson Reed is another guy that seems destined for the main roster. Like, he lost the North American Championship to Swerve, and I'm pretty sure he hasn't been seen since. And I don't think it's injury related, as far as I know.
I don't know if he was going, like, people just assume he's going to go to SmackDown, but you never know.
Yeah, I think that's the weird part, is that you would have thought by now he would have shown up on one of the shows, unless they're waiting until after Money in the Bank for some reason to have him pop up.
I mean, they spent 6 weeks repackaging Carmella, and all they did was just have a show more cleavage. So, I mean, I'm not complaining, but I'm not a sexist either. But, you know, it's just funny how they just decide who they push and who they don't push. And, like, I'm watching Bobby Fish, and I'm like, why? Like, I know why he's wrestling Roderick Strong. But it's like, they split the Undisputed Era, and it seemed like it didn't any of them any favors besides maybe Kyle O'Reilly. It's like everyone else is just kind of like either same spot or worse.
Well, yeah, and O'Reilly kind of needs a signature victory at some point. Like, it's
beside beating Adam Cole. Like, it's like he beat Adam Cole and he's lost to everybody else when it's been an important match.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I guess that's one of the reasons I think that he kind of needs some other signature. If him and Adam Cole go to a rubber match somewhere along the line, I think he needs to win it. Because, again, Adam Cole's been there, done that. Like, you're going to buy him as a championship contender no matter what. O'Reilly?
Yeah, he kicks out after Panama Sunrise, looks like a landmine or something. I like Adam Cole as a character, but that, like Steve say, that Johnny Gargano, we wrestle 15 minutes longer than we need to, nonsense like this. And he said it's because of Shawn Michaels. I don't know. But it's like, sometimes that's just overkill. And it's like, you don't need all that.
Yeah,
that's just funny because you see all that. And then in the end, you know, Karrion Kross hits somebody with an elbow in the back of the head, and that's it. Like, he's an henchman in a Jackie Chan movie. And I'm like, all right.
That's a little bit of a problem, too. But I will say that in general, because, yeah, the regular straight-up matchup that O'Reilly and Cole had was better just because they didn't really add that 15 extra minutes of nonsense. It happened in the unsanctioned match, but there was, you know, as you pointed out, some kicking out of some questionable moves.
I mean, when you win jeans, you can become 20% stronger. So that's why Kushida start winning again since he threw the jeans on.
Oh man.
Dusty Rhodes taught me that. Why? You know what? You know what NXT is in the men's division? It's the Nitro era WCW, where it's strong in the mid card and you're just a bunch of mess up top. Which means Karrion Kross is Hollywood Hulk Hogan, which means yuck. Hollywood Hulk Hogan without the NWO, it would come off as very boring. And that's exactly what it is. It's just like, so I still, like, NXT is still my favorite show because it's like, it has the best combination of wrestling and storyline. In 2 hours, everyone gets to do what they need to do. They build up they build up multiple things, and everything seems to be important. So that's why I like it. SmackDown, I mean, the fun stuff is fun. It's just kind of like, it just seems like it needs to be 90 minutes. Raw, people have said enough about Raw. I don't need to kick it. Like, Raw's just a mess.
We have been kicking that horse while it's down for quite some time at this point. And I don't, outside of the Lashley and MVP stuff, and I guess the Eva Marie stuff's okay, but
Riddle is fine if you get by all the out the ring stuff. Like, he's entertaining. The women tend to be, example, like Charlotte, Rhea Ripley, it's like they both are likable. Like, I ain't room for, I don't care if either one of those assholes win. It's like heel versus heel when both the women are pricks. It's like, what is this? It's like when Triple H was feuding with Benoit, they were both heels. Like, I want to see this. Like, Rhea Ripley is a jerk and Charlotte's a jerk. Okay, who am I? I'm rooting for two jerk blondes that's both tall. One has a short haircut, one has a long haircut.
Yeah, that is the most confusing of the, hey, we're trying to have Shades of Grey. No, guys, this isn't Shades of Grey. This is two people that just suck. Like, it is not terribly complicated here, peeps.
Yeah, like, no, I don't have a problem with Rhea Ripley being a jerk. Because she's also being, like, she's a natural jerk. Her being a babyface always rubbed me the wrong way. I'm like, she's a prick. Y'all only cheering her because y'all got them sexual fetishes. Like, she's an asshole. And if she was a heel, wrestling a babyface is fine. But Charlotte ain't likable either. Like, Charlotte's an asshole. So it's like, you got two pricks trying to out-prick each other. And what's this? It's a reason they normally don't hit heel versus heel. And if they do, it's like one of the heels is a badass. Not, they're both unlikable and they're being like, it's just kind of like, who are you rooting for in this?
No one. Like, that is going to be one that truly, like, crowd wise, is just like, who's going to get cheered?
Maybe Charlotte, because it's like Charlotte. I don't know, because Texas is weird, and I have no clue. They might just move both of them. I just have apathy, because I'm curious to see, because it's kind of like, that was definitely a choice doing that, and when they did it last year, it made sense, because Rhea Ripley was sympathetic, and she was like, you know, the NXT babyface up and coming, and proving that, you know, she can hang with the big dogs. Now, like, you know, she's just a jerk. And not a likable jerk like Bianca Belair, because Bianca Belair is kind of, like, arrogant, too. But she's nice. Like, she's likable. Rhea Ripley is not, like, she's not likable. He either lusts after or boo her. But it's not like, oh, she's cuddly. I have sympathy for her. Not that old big monster.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that does not make her terribly sympathetic. When she's bigger than, like, 90% of the women's roster. Yeah, it's hard to be sympathetic.
And, you know, she got that look, like, I got the earrings, the goth makeup, I got that little smirk, I got the jacket on. It's like, yes, I can see you dating Gina Gershon. That's the look you're going for. Great, but when it comes, like, the ring stuff is just kind of like, Shades of Grey works when it's great. Like you said, it ain't great. It's like you just got two assholes. Okay, I mean, at least with like Edge and Roman Reigns, they're both assholes, but you can root for Edge because of his story, and you ain't like Roman Reigns would be like, I'm rooting for him because it's cool, but not because of anything he does. Like this, the women one is just kind of like.
Well, and like Roman Reigns, like you can root for him because you can maybe identify that he's doing a great job of being an asshole. But neither of them are doing like a good job of being unlikable like Reigns is.
Yeah, they're just unlikable.
Yeah. So it's like, it's like really
like,
awkward.
They're, like, they're not Miz unlikable, they're Dolph Ziggler unlikable. And there is a difference. Like, Miz is kind of like, oh, you little stinker. Like, he's unlikable, but he's in a way where, like, you know what he's doing and you respect it and you appreciate it. Dolph Ziggler, like, every time I see him, I'm like, click. I do not want to see that anymore. No offense, but it's like, he's just a try hard. Is just like, yeah, so, I don't know. I'm looking forward to Money in the Bank. I have no idea who's going to win, which is fun. But it's just kind of like some of those matches are like that. The Viking Raiders versus the tag champs, like the Viking Raiders have been pricks. AJ Styles is a natural prick. Omos is just he's just big. And it's just kind of like the Viking Raiders being sympathetic baby faces makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Oh.
Come on now.
No. It's just like, yeah, they're supposed to be these warrior guys, and you're supposed to be painting them as sympathetic.
Yeah. You know where that started with, right? When they was doing all that stuff with the Street Profits.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, they're funny. Oh, you like them. It's like, oh, cool, but still, like, they walk around like they got axes ready to, like, chop somebody's head off, and they cracking, you know. AJ Styles is the crotchety, you know, zany uncle, but it's still AJ Styles. Like, it's that whole dynamic is just weird. Because it's like people where it's like AJ is almost likable because you just can't help yourself because, like, he got so much respect and he clearly having fun being, like, you know, the get off my lawn uncle. And then at the same time, they got somebody that's 7'3" that dresses like a guest model. So it's. Yeah, that when he wrestles, he doesn't do that much. But everybody's like, "Oh, you can't do anything against him. He's just bigger than everybody, and like he's really bigger than everybody. Like he is, he's big. Like he is just big. So he doesn't have to do it. And he's not gonna try no. I'm gonna do a drop kick off the top rope. It's like I'm gonna be a big man. Like Final Fight, I'm gonna choke you. I'm gonna stomp you. I'm gonna punch you. I'm gonna body slam you."
I'm going to palm you by the head and pretend that you're a basketball, which is perfectly good.
Yeah, like he's an old school big heel when they kind of moved away from that where they want all these heel to be athletic. Like, when you're that tall, you don't have to action stuff. So, but it's like, of course they win. And then it's like, what's it's a lot of it, like, it's kind of like, this just seem like placeholders. Like, you know, crowds coming back. We just got to get to SummerSlam. And, of course, there's the rumors like John Cena going to take time out from being a movie star for whatever God knows reason. And, ooh, I love him to talk that shit to Roman Reigns like he was doing last time they shoot it. Roman go like, nah, this ain't the same thing. Roman going to have some words for John. I'm actually looking forward to that feud because it's like, yeah, it's almost like Star Wars, you know. I'm in a different spot since last time you met me, Obi-Wan, so talk that shit now.
Well, you kind of talked about it. Were you even tempted to go to the Money in the Bank in Dallas?
A little bit, but I was like, because one, it's just a two-hour drive. But it was just kind of like, the card didn't interest me that much.
Oh.
It was just kind of like, you know, besides, like, the Kofi Kingston and Lashley, I would enjoy those. The Money in the Bank matches, yeah, I mean, it's unique. But other than that, it's like, you know, I know Roman gonna beat the brakes off of Edge, and it was just kind of like, and I was only curious about it because it was close. SummerSlam was gonna go until the prices became insane. I'm like, y'all just get, it's not even WWE. It's, I'm not paying quadruple the price for a hotel just because SummerSlam's gonna be there. Which what happened? Like hotels that were $60 to $70 a night became $300 a night. Kiss my ass, Vegas.
Like, I did not hear about that.
Yes, I was going to book, but my dumb ass was going. I was going to book the hotel, which I should have did. Like, no, I want to wait and see how much the tickets cost, and then decide. By the time the tickets went on sale, the hotel skyrocketed, and then flights doubled. And I'm like, no, I'm not. The network kind of changes my thought process where I don't mind spending money on wrestling, even though I'm old and grown, but I'm at the point where if I'm focused on how much I spent, that defeats the purpose. I want to have fun. I would not have had fun because I had been bitching about spending a couple grand to, you know, who knows, see Goldberg wrestle Lashley. Like, no, I would have been pissed off. And I know, like, the rumors, like, Brock going to be it. You know, I'm like, I just had to sink and feel that I'm going to hear who's next on Monday, and Goldberg's bald ass going to come out here, and I'm just like, so, God. Got no contracts to be like, they paying them, they got to use them. That's just like, you
know. Yeah, well, part of the reason I asked that, like, I have not been, at least on the show here, I just said that I was not interested in going to a live event for the WWE. And then it just hit my inbox today that they're doing Extreme Rules here in Columbus in
you're gonna be there.
Late September. I'm like, man, you really need to tempt me with a pay-per-view, huh?
It's funny where it's like the first pay-per-view was in Dallas. And it's like, I could drive to Dallas. And it's like, damn. But you know what the main reason I was going to go? It's my wife's birthday. I'm selling. I'm not going to skip her birthday to watch. Oh. She would strangle me.
And no. Rightfully so.
Yeah. So at the time, it was like, you know, if it was a different weekend, maybe it was like that weekend, no. And I guess we can wrap up soon. If there's any doubt that SmackDown is the A show, it's one, the fact that they're going to have SmackDown in Madison Square Garden with like Raw people, but it's like a SmackDown show. I cannot remember the last time WWE had a televised event at Madison Square Garden. Like, it has been quite a while.
Yeah.
Like the last one that I remember, maybe one since then, it was like the one where it was like a triple tag match. Because I remember like Cena and The Undertaker were like involved. Because I remember Undertaker like Tombstone and Cena. It had to have been one since then. But it just seemed like the last time I think of the Garden is like when Kofi was feuding with Randy Orton the first time.
The last time I had really remembered was the 25th anniversary of Raw. Was the first, because wasn't that in Madison Square Garden?
I think it was like that, and they split off like in Madison Square Garden, like the ballroom.
Oh. Yeah,
where all the man, all the fans that was at the old spot was just mad because all they got to see was DX and The Undertaker come out, and all the matches were at the other spot. Oh, I remember that. Everybody was just bitch. They was like, Vince McMahon scammed us. He's like, yeah, all the assholes go to the Hammerstein. Yeah, all the assholes go to the Manhattan Center, so they couldn't ruin the show. So it might have been that one. Before that, I can't remember the last one. But not only that, it's happening. They're gonna be Madison Square. They're going to Rolling Loud. Who thought of that and convinced Vince to do that? That's not a normal thing that WWE would think of. That's cool. WWE normally doesn't do cool.
And what is Rolling Loud?
It is a rap festival.
Oh.
I know people in Cleveland were pissed because that SmackDown was will be in Cleveland, and now half of it's going to be in Cleveland, and the other half's going to be in Miami.
Well, that was the one thing I did laugh about, that I knew that I didn't realize that the Cleveland thing got split, but I laughed that Cleveland got smacked down, and I think there's going to be a Raw in Cincinnati, and there was, to me, not a surprise that Columbus got the pay-per-view between the three cities. But, oh man, that makes their Cleveland SmackDown even worse. They're only getting half of a show.
Like, how dare you? Like, you know, be happy to get in the half. And it's just funny where, yeah, like, SmackDown's the A show. And
yeah.
I don't wonder who swung that, because, like, that's some old WCW Nitro and Spring Break stuff. It's like, WWE was never that cool. That was like a WCW was doing that back in the day. So, whoever pulled that off, it's like, kudos to them.
Yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're trying to finally actually reach out to a younger audience rather than, because, man, dear gravy, I feel like someone said the key demo was 35 to 49. I'm like, oh, that's a bad place for wrestling to be in.
Yeah, it is the issue, because it's the, like, I talk to fans, I talk to, like, people all the time, it's kind of like, y'all stuck in nostalgia, and it's like, it's a problem.
Oh.
Yeah, we was like, the Attitude Era stood out because wrestling was cool. That was the one time we could talk to wrestling at school, at work, and at home, and didn't feel embarrassed. Because everybody was having fun, because everybody watched it. The young people watched it, the old people watched it, and people in between watched it. And what happened was, young people stopped watching, like, you know, kids still watch it when they go to shows, but teenagers stopped watching it. The people that used to be teenagers became old and crotchety. Now we're old middle-aged men with income. So that end-of-day stuff, oh, we're going to never have a crowd like this. This damn do like, I'm like, we got sport. We got the chair. Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and The Rock at the same time. That's like if you watch LeBron James and Jordan in their primes together. Of course, it ain't gonna be the same. Right? And we were different. We were teenagers. We didn't have bills. We were broke. We had nothing to do. But watch wrestling and be broke. That's what we were doing. And we were watching wrestling when wrestling was fun. Now we old, we got kids, we got mortgages, we got bad joints, and we still talking that old back in the day garbage. And like, they don't got stars like that. I'm like, John Cena and Batista are movie stars. movie stars. Sasha Banks was just, you know, Sasha Banks is at the ESPYs getting an award, wasn't a Mandalorian. What are we talking about? Like, this whole Bad Bunny took time out of his busy ass schedule to put together an awesome WrestleMania match because he was a fan. That's the only reason. Logan Paul's goofy ass, like, I show WrestleMania take a stunner, it'd be cool. Like, when we still stuck in this whole nostalgia thing, like, how it used to be, and ain't like this anymore. That's why NXT feel like, you know, Mid-South, because we all old. It's like, yo, it's wrestling. They care. They don't do it like that no more. It's like the good old days. I'm like, man, fuck the good old days. Days were not that good. We just young and dumb.
Oh, well, I couldn't think of a better way to wrap things up since I didn't.
I got one more question. Yeah, I got one more question for you.
Sure.
To wrap things up, because I used a perfect example because it came up on Twitter. I was telling people, like, you know, y'all, Attitude Era, because people was talking about, this is what happened. Somebody whose name I won't mention made a post that said, and you know, sooner or later, the ratings gap between AEW and WWE will shrink and vanish if WWE continues to put bad matches on TV compared to good matches that AEW put on. And people rightfully rebutted says that when it comes to ratings, matches have very little to do with it. And basically, I told them, it's like, everyone remembers Stone Cold Steve Austin. Name a match you remember on Raw that he had after he broke his neck with Owen Hart. How many kids you remember?
Yeah, matches, very little. All of his famous stuff from Raw were segments.
Yeah. The match against you, the match against Undertaker, when he got on the title, and everything else was when he was a heel. But when he was a babyface, there's a whole bunch of awesome on TV. I'm not watching matches. I was thinking about him throwing little no wrist locks, no suplexes. Like, that shit went out the window when he became Stone Cold. You know, like, people remember segments. People remember promos and events. It was not this whole... You might remember matches every now and then, but I was like, matches, like, the NWO had nothing to do with matches. It had to do with the NWO being cool. People watch the Cruiserweights. They watch, like, the Chris Jericho's and stuff, but they turned the channel when Goldberg was on, or when, like, Hogan was like, it's two people who got over and became stars because of working hard and having good matches. One was Diamond Dallas Page, and one is in hell. So... that's all you need to know. Beyond that, they got over with personality. And you know how I know? Because it was a time where the number two, number three babyface in WWE during the Attitude Era was Rikishi and the Godfather. Name a good match either one of them had?
Oh, no.
Exactly. There you go. So, and Sting spent a whole year not having a match with the most popular person in wrestling by not wrestling. So... yeah, miss me with all of that stuff. Wrestling is where it is. It's not had because the matches are awesome. The storylines suck for the most part, but that's just a Raw thing. Nobody complains about NXT, and damn sure nobody complains. Like, Roman Reigns isn't getting over because he's having great matches. He's not getting over because it's matches. He's getting over because he's compelling. He's being Michael Corleone in a world of Popeyes. So there you go. And so, wrestling journalists, get your head out your asses, because you should know better. Stop being these gatekeepers. We all watch the same things that you watch. We all know better. So don't post some nonsense and then get mad and call out on it, because, like, you got to do better. Be better.
Yeah, well, and I think you mentioned it, even with the MSG thing being SmackDown, I'm not sure that, you know, WWE has officially acknowledged it, but SmackDown's the top show, and it's still blowing AEW out of the water as far as how many people are watching it.
It's like double, at least. It's like if SmackDown woke up one day and got AEW's ratings, Mr. Man might fly his plane into another plane. Like, he would lose his mind, or he'd try to build a time machine and bring back 1998 Steve Austin to fix that. So, and there's nothing wrong with competition. It makes everyone better. It gives people an opportunity to do other stuff, and it's fine. It shouldn't have to be one or the other. Let's have both. I'm so happy social media wasn't a big thing during the Monday Night Wars, because that would have been insufferable. It was bad enough as it was back in the day. Twitter, with that...
yeah, I don't even want to think about how much of a train wreck that would have been. I mean, not that I would have been checking it, because I was in school for a large time of the WCW versus WWE part. So I didn't have a habit of watching too much, but...
Barry, you've seen a whole bunch of... Think Barry and Tess need to go to WCW. Oh, that crap. I'm like, ugh. I just, like, everybody ain't buried. It's like, everybody can't win all the time. Someone has to lose. That's just how it's set up. And it's kind of like, you know, it's not that many people who went from WWE to AEW and were better off. John Moxley's better off because he just has more time. Not because he's, like, a better character. He just gets more of a chance. Tainara Conti got better. Who else? I see them more, but it's not. Is it a better version of what they used to be, or is this, or you just get to see more of them?
Yeah, Rusev, his Miro now, I guess he's finally found a character. But kind of to your point, like, is he really better off, or is he just the best version of Rusev, but on AEW? Which,
yeah, it's just. I mean, which is fine if that's the thing, but it's kind of like, you know, WWE is still an entertainment company. AEW is a wrestling company. And as far as, like, it's a limit to how far you can go when it's solely wrestling, because it's going to be the same people that always watch. And you may get more people because you don't have to share with NXT. But it's like, if your biggest star is Chris Jericho and your second biggest star gets compared to a fastest superhero, you got a problem when it comes to growth. Like, that's, you need to do something about that. Like, you know, that Kenny Omega is great. At first, I don't know who Kenny Omega is. They don't know, like, they might know the Young Bucks, maybe, but I doubt it. Like, wrestling fans know. Like, how many, like, know the average fan, you know what they know? They don't stink. That's what they know. They know Chris Jericho. They may know, they remember Cody Rhodes. Oh, that's Dusty's son from WWE. Then that number started getting out real small, like, after that. It's like, oh, you know, if you watch Lucha Underground, you know about Phoenix and Pentagon. But after that, it's kind of like, if you weren't a hardcore watcher, you know, it's like Darby Allin may be cool, but you have to learn to, you have to learn Darby Allin. You have to, you know, learn about Orange Cassidy. And that's the future, but, like, that takes time. WWE has a long-ass head start where it's like, it's WWE. We've been watching Roman Reigns for almost a decade. Watching Sasha Banks and all of them for, like, a long time. They have, so they are household names because they've been in our household for quite a long time. AEW is just getting there. It's going to take a while. Because even WCW, when the Monday Night War started, they were still the NWA. It's like, everybody knew who Sting was. Like, people knew, like, we were watching them in the 80s. So by the time the late 90s comes, like, we grew up on that. We didn't grow up on AEW. Just experiencing AEW. So let's give that time. Let them become something and stop this whole, they're going to take over. I'm like, they're going to take over what? They're going to take over TNT. Let them do that. That's all they need to do. And relax.
Yeah. Yeah. The next time, I guess I'm thinking, what was his name? The tight end for San Francisco. Who just mentioned in his press conference, hey, I'm going to whatever the pay-per-view is tonight for the WWE. George Kittle. George Kittle.
Okay.
And it's just like, the next time that something like that happens for AEW, it's going to be the first time.
Yeah, like, you know, Shaq. Here you go.
Oh.
That's like Snoop Dogg. But that's it. I mean, it's like, you have that there, but it's like, it's going to take a while for AEW. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
Like, Cardi B ain't showing up at AEW anytime soon. She has talked about wanting to show up at SummerSlam or WrestleMania, and these gatekeeping fans, see that? I'm like, yeah. Because y'all just waiting for Drowning Pool to come out. Like, chill out. I like them too. We need to move past the Daredevil official soundtrack from like 2003. When it comes to music. Like, I thought we learned our lesson with Bad Bunny because, like, people, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, you need to go out and touch some grass, like, get outside. Like, but AEW has an advantage of being on TV and being like a major network that's supporting them that has a history of wrestling. And it has an advantage where it's like, wrestling, I mean, people might chuckle, whatever, I watch wrestling. Put it this way, WWE wasn't showing up on ESPN except for when somebody died. And now it's a normal thing. And AEW show up on, like, they show up on TV. They show up in, like, the news and stuff. It's like people accept wrestling for what it is and they embrace and have fun in a way that they hadn't done since, like, what, the 70s? The early 80s? Because even in the Attitude Era, they're like, this shit trash or this shit is devil nonsense. They're trying to shut that shit down. And now it's like, you know what it is. It's fine.
Yep. Yeah, it is fine. Oh, boy. Okie doke. That is what? You're now at Texas Drugs, sir?
Yes. Philly Drugs has died.
Well.
The Philly sports scene murdered my love. Like, Philly Drugs is like, no. I feel like Brutus Beefcake. He is dead. I'm the butcher.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, and I'm at Frang 11. No bell time beer this week because I had entirely too many on vacation. I will mention, though, one of the beers that I picked up in Lexington, Tennessee from Mirror Twin Brewing, Wheezing the Juice, I believe is its name. I'm looking it up right now as I talk. It is a slushy IPA or a slushy sour, and it is fantastic. And I will do a full review and drinking during some show in the near future here. But anyone down in the Kentucky area, if you haven't tried that one, I highly suggest it. It is quite delicious. That's so
awesome name for a fantasy football team, slushy sour. And there goes Scarlett out here doing her strip club routine.
Oh, have a good night, grandkids. Oh no, I always let you send it out. You send it out.
Oh no, that's perfect. For Kevin DeFranco and Carrie Cross, I'm Cheetah Thor Hottie, and Fall in Fear, whatever that stupid catchphrase is. TikTok, we are out.